What's up, everybody? The worship was hot tonight, man. I tell you what, I broke my deodorant. No, I'm just playing. I still smell good. But I'm excited to be here this evening, and I love what God does, man. I thought I had it all figured out. I thought I knew for sure where God was taking me this evening, and God switched some things in my spirit during worship. And I like when he does that, but it also scares me when he does that. And before he did it, I prayed, Holy Spirit, you need to preach this message tonight. And you need to move after this message tonight because of this message. So I'm just fully putting my faith and my trust in Holy Spirit. And I really believe the word that the Lord has put on my heart tonight will challenge us. But how many of you know that altercation with the Lord is okay? An altercation with God is okay. And when you learn to submit, when you learn to surrender, there's an alteration that takes place. Isn't that awesome? Like if you look at Jacob and God, or the angel, or the man that he wrestles with God, but at the point of surrender, God touches his hip. And from that point forward, in the midst of that altercation, he leaves being altered forever. Isn't that good? And God is okay with getting into an altercation with your flesh. By telling your flesh what it doesn't want to hear. Come on. Because some of you looked at me at first like, what are you talking about, an altercation with the Lord? Can I tell you something? God is okay with having an altercation with your flesh by revealing to you what your spirit needs and what you need. And he is so okay to have an altercation with you because he knows that he will manifest his goodness and his strength to a place where you will surrender. And when you surrender, there's an alteration that takes place in the midst of that surrender. Mary wrestled with the word of the Lord that came from the angel when the angel of the Lord spoke to her and said, you're going to have a child. You're going to name him Jesus. Well, I never knew a man. Well, that's because you're not going to know a man. It's going to come to you divinely. And eventually she gets to a place of surrender after altercation. She must have had an issue with the will, or she wouldn't have then said, or the word. If she didn't have an issue with the word, she wouldn't have questioned it. And she wouldn't have then said in Luke 2, I believe it's around verse 32, according to your word, let it be so. God will get in an altercation with your flesh, and he's going to win. And when you learn to surrender, Holy Spirit's able to do in you something, because your surrender creates a womb for Holy Spirit to come and conceive something in you that's going to completely alter your life forever. We want more of God, but we don't want to change. When we cry out for more, we're actually asking God to reveal something that's already established in the kingdom, but not established in us. God, there's nothing else that God can accomplish in heaven, but there is things that he needs to accomplish in you. There's things he needs to prune and purge and change in you and alter you for the good. That's why he gives us his word. God gives us his word to reveal to us where he's wanting to take us. But his word doesn't just reveal our destination or our destiny, I should say. Watch this, because for you to reach your destiny, you need to go on a journey with God. And part of that journey, part of that process is submitting to the refiner's fire. And watch this, when God reveals to you his word and where he wants to take you, he's going to automatically expose to you what's holding you back from it. And what God wants to do is God wants to reveal to you where he wants to take you, so that when he exposes something that's holding you back from where he wants to take you, the thing he exposes pales in comparison to the goodness of God that was just revealed. And the goodness of God was revealed to show you your destiny, where he wants to take you. And he exposes the ugly thing that might be holding you back. to give you a passion to overcome what's holding you back so that you can, watch, and he'll give you that passion by revealing to you where you can go if you just overcome this thing. And a lot of times what we have to overcome is ourselves. And the woman, man, Jesus' mom, Mary, says, according to your word, let it be so. And when she surrendered in the midst of that altercation, because God spoke something that messed with her theology, it messed with her doctrine, it messed with her mind, it messed with her flesh. So there was an altercation, which means there was a struggle. But when she learned to just say, okay, God, this is so good, and apparently selfishness is holding me back, fear and confusion, but according to your word, let it be so. Why? Because God's answer was far greater than her questions that could try to hold her back. And I love this because God will give you an answer before you ask a question. Because you ever get the answer before you ask the question and you're wondering, why in the world did I ask the question? But watch this, guys. Let me just encourage you for a couple minutes tonight. I want to talk about the beauty of the word. And I love this because, listen, when we get to into the midst of, like, because listen, like, God is okay with like offending your feelings and offending your flesh to stir your faith to reach for the things that he prepared for you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And the reason he's okay to get in altercation with your flesh and it's okay to make you feel uncomfortable and mess with your emotions, so to speak, is because maybe he's addressing the very thing that's holding you back, and that's your emotions and your selfishness that motivates and fuels your wrong emotions. And maybe God is speaking to reveal to, like, because watch this. Whatever offends you reveals to you the thing that God wants to work on. Because offense will always hold you back from the things that God wants you to step into. Is this okay?
Yeah.
And so God will speak to offend you by revealing to you where he's calling you, but then it exposes what's holding you back from getting there. And when we cry out for more of God, I wonder if Mary was crying out for the more of God. And when she cried out for the more of God, God reveals to her how he wants to use her and where he wants to take her. I wonder how many of us get there sometimes, man. We're crying out to God, like, God, I want to go here, and I want to experience these things, and I want more of you. And watch this, watch. He wants to establish in you something that's already established and secure in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are supposed to manifest the more of God that's established in heaven on earth. But we've got to get over ourselves and surrender to the will of God so that God can use us to bring his will on the earth. Is this okay? God wants to speak to offend you, and by reveal, because watch, I'll say it again. God will speak, and whatever, like whatever offends you is him revealing to you the thing you need to get over. He's like, Ryan, I want to take you here. And I will reveal to you in my word the more that I have for you and the more that I want to establish in you and by using you, the things I want to do around you. And I'll reveal to you, but it's going to offend your flesh. It's going to tweak out your emotions sometimes. It's going to mess with your head. But he says, I'm looking for people that will get out of their head and into me. Because if you're in your head, you're not going to accomplish what you can when you get out of your head and surrender to the Spirit. When Mary got out of her head and submitted to God and surrendered to God, she created a space for Holy Spirit to do in her what only Holy Spirit can do. And what I love is when she submitted to God and created a space for God to move, how many of you know that her life started to go through a process that after the altercation, there was an alteration? that Holy Spirit now had access to something through her surrender. And in that, the Holy Spirit started to move in her first and conceive Jesus in her, where it changed everything in her first. And then everything around her started to change where others could see it. When you surrender the Holy Spirit, you create a space for Holy Spirit to make Jesus famous in an area that you kept shut out you shut God out of. Like when you surrender, you create a space, you open up a door for Holy Spirit to move in an area and make Jesus famous where you've kept the door shut to him for years. And when you surrender to God, and because watch this, God wants to do more in you before he does any more things around you. God is more about, watch this, God is so focus more on establishing your character and you're being moral and being righteous and being holy, just as he is more concerned whenever you cry out for more, doing some more in you and establishing in you what's already established in him and his kingdom. Because if he can get you fixed and you continue to live this life for God before people, the goodness of God is going to be put on display. The fruit of the Spirit, which is the characteristics of God, is put on display. And that is how, according to John 15, you rightfully glorify God. And that is you bear fruit. You don't glorify God by a magnified, puffed up, strong gift. You glorify God by giving the greatest gift, and that is revealing the image and character of God by bearing fruit. You have a greater privilege and honor to represent the characteristics of the Father by bearing fruit. That's a greater honor than prophesying to the nations, even though that's powerful and amazing as well. And when you surrender and you create a place where it might be an altercation for your flesh, but it's something the Spirit starts to alter, you start being conformed into the image of Jesus, which is the thing Paul pressed into all the time, and we as a church should press into every day till. Paul says in Philippians 3:14, he says, I press towards, man. I don't know about you, but I want to press towards the goal, the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. What's that calling? It's Romans chapter 8, that we would be conformed into the image of Jesus. So when we're crying out for more of God, we're not just asking for more manifestations and demonstrations that wow us. We're really actually asking God to do more in us so we can look more like Christ and bear fruit that glorifies the Father's name. On the earth that needs to know who the Father is. I'm not going to be much longer because I don't need to belabor this point. But that's what I felt in my spirit, Pastor. And I've been hearing it since I got here. Is God will cause an altercation to bring an alteration in your life. And I'm not saying that he brings a storm. I'm not saying that he brings sickness. I'm not saying he brings the trials. Even though he's there, though, and will manifest himself, and you will learn and grow in those altercations. Because God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's the fourth man in the fire to bring you out of the fire. He didn't manifest the storm, but in the storm, he wants to manifest himself so that you grow and mature in him, even in the midst of the storm. And what the enemy meant for bad, God turns around for the good and does something in you in the midst of the storm to mature you. Because nothing's wasted in the kingdom. God doesn't even allow a trial to be wasted. He doesn't even allow a trial to be wasted. He will use an altercation that the enemy throws at you to do something in you, because he says, this was meant to take your possession. This was meant to damage you. This was meant to hurt you. But I'm going to use the very thing that was trying to take you out to elevate you, to promote you, to strengthen you, to build you up. Because wherever you are, that's where I am. And if you look to me, son, and submit to me, you'll overcome this storm. But this storm that was meant to damage you will be the thing that I use to alter you for the good. Because I don't want to waste it. Yeah, come on. Is this okay? Yeah. If it's not, go home, because I'm going to preach it. I don't mean that in a mean way, but Pastor Charlie's your pastor, I think you'll be okay with that statement. But do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because like some people think God, man, because I don't want you to leave here thinking, man, he talked about God's manifesting the storms. He don't manifest the storms, but God can still and will if you look to him, put your trust in him. He will manifest himself in the storm and not waste the storm, but use that storm for your good, to build you up, to strengthen you, to humble you, to encourage you. The altercations that I'm talking about, though, is the word that speaks to your spirit, and your flesh is like, oh no. There's something I've got to do. A part of me is going to die. What? Can I tell you something? There's things in your flesh that need to die so Christ can live in you and be glorified. Is this okay? That's point number 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. I forgot one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I love this book. But you know what? I love, because it's alive, it's because Holy Spirit breathes on it to the reader who reads it intentionally. And Holy Spirit takes the Logos word and makes it a Rhema word. And it's a double-edged sword. Can I tell you something? That word encourages you. So that's, I think, one of the sides of the sword to a degree is encouragement. But can I tell you something? The other side of the word is challenge. It's there to encourage you, but it's also there to challenge you. It's there to reveal God's plans for your life. And it's there to expose what's holding you back from partaking in that in your life. And it all stems around selfishness. Well, it could be fear, it could be insecurity. That all revolves around selfishness. And the reason there's an altercation is our spirit's like, man, this is what you need to hear, Ryan. And my flesh is like, I don't want to hear it. Remember how Galatians says our flesh rages war against our spirit and our spirit against our flesh? Right? Some translations will say the spirit lusts after the flesh and the flesh after the spirit. And I'm like, why is the spirit lusting? He's like, when you think of lusting, what do you think? I'm like, someone wants something. Do you know James chapter 4 says the spirit that's in you yearns in you jealously? That word yearns means to pursue in love. And the spirit that is in you will pull in your heart and convict you and reveal to you the things you should truly press into. And your flesh will be like, well, I don't want to. Because he knows a side of himself is going to have to die. Jesus says, if you desire to come after me, you must first deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. God will reveal his word and make it so enticing that it becomes irresistible, that everything you're holding on to that's holding you back from it pales in comparison to what he's calling you to. And you willingly let go of it so you can pursue after it. I take comfort, Pastor Charlie, in the Spirit of God in me yearning, pursuing things in love, wanting to overtake, wanting to dominate my life. But the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit that yearned in Christ jealously, it wasn't like he needed to take over territory that Jesus held God at arm's length in. He was fully submitted to God and can only do what he saw his Father do. But it was the Spirit of God that caused him to pursue after the things of God jealously, passionately, in love. I don't know about you, but I want to be in that place where not only is the Spirit of God revealing to me and exposing to me things that I need to take care of, I want the Spirit of God to manifest and manufacture a pursuit in love that causes me to want to pursue in love after the things of God, where I will willingly let go of whatever I need to because I don't want to have an affair on the one that I say I love. with anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? If James chapter 4 says, and I think it's verse 5, says the Spirit of God, as it is written, which there's really no scripture that we have here that actually quotes this, but the Spirit that is in you yearns, pursues with jealousy, with envy. Do you know in John chapter 2 when it says that the disciples remembered, now this is after Jesus flipped the temple tables, remember how it says that they remember what was written, the zeal for his house ate them up? I don't know about you. I take delight in that and I celebrate that and I'm thankful that the Spirit of God wants to pursue and convict me and persuade me and entice me to surrender and to submit to the plans and the Word of God for my life so that I can see those things happen in my life. But I also want that Spirit to stir the same passion that Jesus had to do only what he saw his Father do. I want that passion, guys, to stir in me. I want that passion from the Spirit of God, man, to stir me up where I want to be altered. I want that Spirit of God to stir a passion in me where I pursue God and don't look to the left or right or backwards, but I pursue God in radical love. Just like he pursues me in love, the Spirit of God pursues me in love. I want to pursue God in radical love. I want to pursue him, man. I want to keep my eyes single and go after him. Not just because of what I'm going to step into, not just because of what I'm going to see happen in my life. I'm just in love with him, and I don't want to ever live without him. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to live outside of his will because I love him and I'm committed to him. I don't, man, listen, guys, I don't serve God because I'm intimidated by him, even though he is intimidating. I serve him because I'm inspired by him. And I think of that song, there ain't no walls he won't kick down, no lights he won't, or shadows he won't light up. And he's pursuing me, coming after me. Like, I want that thing to burn in me. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God, is dear children. Don't pursue God because you're trying to get good things on earth. Pursue God because he's good. But know that, man, when you pursue him, be in love with him. He loves to give good gifts to his children. It is his good pleasure to give you the things of the kingdom. So when you pursue the kingdom, he's going to manifest the kingdom because he wants to embrace the ones that pursue him and pursue after the things he's promised. He wants to wrap his arm, watch. He wants to wrap those who pursue and go after by faith. He wants to wrap his arms of manifestation around you because he loves you and he wants to give you the things of the kingdom, but pursue him for him. And when you pursue him, God will give you good gifts. But this, do you get what I'm trying to say? The Spirit that was in, that's in us, coming after us, I want that Spirit to rub off on me. I'm like, God, like, I'm pursuing with great determination, yes, the manifestation of the promise you spoke to my heart. But greater than that, I am after you and I am pursuing in love after you and your heart, God. Because at the end of the day, that's the only riches that I want. God, and when you get to that place and the Spirit that rubs off on you and that pursues you in love and you start pursuing the Spirit of God in love, you get over yourself and you surrender and you allow Holy Spirit to move in you to completely alter your life. So now it's no longer an altercation. It's a willing submission. God, do this in my life. Because when you do this in my life, not only am I going to be blessed, God, not only am I going to be exalted, God, when I submit to you, but God, you're going to be exalted in my life. And the life that I live, because now the life I live is altered by you, and it looks more like you. People are going to know who you are by coming in contact with me. And I'm going to be able to glorify you through the life that I live, not the things that I speak. James chapter 4, verse 10, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he'll exalt you in due time. When you learn in love, not intimidation only, but out of inspiration, when you learn to surrender and submit to God, not out of obligation, but out of desire. Guess what? You are creating a space for the glory of God, the fullness of God that you've been restored back to have access in you and alter something in your life. But when you submit and humbly surrender to God's word, like Mary did, according to your word, Lord, let it be so. Guess what happens? You are exalted in that word, but that word's exalted in you. And if Jesus is the word, and the thing that Paul passionately pursued, which was the mark, the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus in Romans 8, talks about being conformed to the image of Christ. When you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord of Lords, when you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, guess what happens? Jesus exalted in your life in that area of surrender. And you get to bear his image in that area now. And reveal to people in the midst of their confusion who your Savior really is. See, because when God targets you with a word, he doesn't just have you in mind. He wants to use your life and exalt his strength, his power, his character, his fruit, his who he is in your life. To reveal to others as they watch this. When someone stands and looks at a canvas that once was blank, but now is colored in and drawn on and fixed up and looks all pretty. They stand and they have an idea of who the artist is based off of what he drew or painted. I want to live my life where I'm a canvas that God moves on so that they know the characteristics of the artist. Because of the art. Because we got all excited, like, man, God altered my situation. And God wants to. But he wants to alter your life, man. And completely change you from the inside out. God's calling us higher and higher. And Saturday night, I'm going to preach the plumb line thing that the Lord put on my heart for tonight and then told me to change it for Saturday. It's like, what? Excusing me, God, why? He says, Ryan, he says, if I would have given you the message that I'm having you release tonight, if I would have given that to you before, like tonight, you would have really messed it up. I think it was Papa Jack said, at your church, he gets a message at 3 a.m., I think he said, in the morning, and he asked God, why did you wait so late? He says, I don't want you to have enough time to mess it up, I think is how he says it. I don't want to try to misquote that man, but it was something like that. And I had one of those situations. It's like, what's up with your church? But anyways, but man. So God's word spoken. God's word lived out, Jesus, reveals to you what he's calling you to. If that's in a prophetic, if that's a prophetic call into giftings, or the life of Jesus is actually calling you to so much more than a gift and signs, miracles, and wonders. His life is amplifying something that Holy Spirit wants to do in you so that your life is completely altered to look like the Father so you too can glorify the Father like the Son Jesus did. Because you're his son too. It's a scary thought for me, guys. It's a scary thought for me to think that I could misuse the greatest responsibility that I have here on this earth, and that's not to preach the gospel. It is, but it's not, because I do preach the gospel with the life I live first. But it's a scary day if I abuse or misrepresent or abuse or destroy the greatest responsibility that I have with self. I don't want to destroy it with selfishness. The greatest call that you have in life is to represent, to be an ambassador of heaven, yes. And that means signs, miracles, and wonders invading you and coming through you when you pray and things happening around you. But more importantly, it's the Father's love, the Father's heart, even the Father's raw power and wrath being represented, so to speak, in the life that you live. Like, that's to me, Pastor, one of the greatest responsibilities that I have, to represent the Father in my ministry, but to represent my Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in my marriage, and as a father, as a friend, and as just a person walking down the street. And the gift accompanies the fruit, and the fruit, the gift. So I'm not taking away from the gift, but we need to learn to surrender to God and say, God, this is how I glorify you. I bear fruit. Paul had this crazy desire to press in and to pursue the high calling, which was in Christ. And that high calling is revealed in Romans 8, like I said, because it says we're called, which means we're invited to become, to conform to the image of the Son, because the Son was the first among many. And just like the Son said, the Son can only do what he sees his Father do. I want to live where there's no other option. That there was no other option. There was anything else held into comparison to the Son obeying the Father. Okay? I'm almost done, I promise, I think. But this is one of the things the Lord also spoke to me, and I'm just going to let this be then, okay? As he said, Ryan, he says, the reason I revealed where I'm taking you, and that's the image of Christ, but that's also like, it can be like prosperity financially. It could be, you know, dreams coming true. Like, why would God want you to dream and have expectation if he doesn't want those dreams to come true? You know what I mean? God doesn't want people to fantasize. God wants people to dream. Because fantasies, watch this. Fantasies are, that's never going to happen, but I like to think about it. Dreams are, I'm believing that this dream's going to be fulfilled. Yeah. I'm going to believe this dream will come true. So when God's word, his Son, first of all, puts on display, first among many, he's the first fruits of heaven, God puts on display through his Son what he desires all of his sons to walk in. God's word also reveals where he's taking you, and he also exposes what's holding you back from, like, he also exposes what's holding you back from getting there. If that's the image of the Son, or what's holding you back, the dream, the prosperity, the breakthroughs. Okay? Now watch this. I'm going to say this in love, but the Lord spoke this to me. He said, Ryan, he says, the reason I expose something, and Ron will have a great honor for, like, with this word because of what happened earlier. But anyways, God says, I expose things for your good. Like, if you look, because watch this. God will expose something to you, or expose something by revealing something, because he wants to do something to fix it. He exposes it to show you what he wants to confront, what he wants to alter, what he wants to tear down, because he loves you and he wants to take care of the snare. And he wants to stir you up and get you fed up with it to where you confront it and not run away from it, because if you run away from it, it's going to follow you. This is a really good word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's helping me preach it. Now he's going to manifest it, whatever that looks like. Maybe you won't be able to sleep tonight. I don't know if I'll be able to sleep tonight. But watch this. Because we get all excited, like, yeah, Lord, take care of the snares. And yeah, he's going to expose what's holding me back. And I'm not going to have to do anything. That's when you have to do everything. Not just submit and surrender. Sometimes you've got to intentionally shake that thing off, intentionally hold your tongue, intentionally stop putting stuff in your mouth. So, I'm a builder in the spirit when I preach. So don't forget what I said earlier. He's going to reveal to show you the beauty of something and expose something in the process that's holding you back. And what he's taking you to is going to be far greater than what you're holding on to. If that's conforming to the image of Christ or a prophetic destiny coming to pass. And even, but I think like becoming into and conforming into the image of Christ is part of your prophetic destiny coming to pass, because the testimony of Jesus is your assignment prophetically. And if you look at any prophetic word that's been given to you, if you believe in the prophetic, it all comes back to conforming to the image of Jesus some way, somehow. Because in Christ is life. And what Christ did was to come and to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. He is everything. He's the Tada of God. Why would a prophetic word be Jesus and then? So the prophetic word reveals to you what he wants to do in you and around you to conform it to the testimony of Jesus, because he's the first among many. And that's why he'll expose vile things to cause you to want to break up with it. Do you know how you break up with something easily? Have an affair on it. You're like, whoa, there's silence now. It's like, you know what my wife told me when we first got married, Pastor? She says, and I'm sure it would be different because Jesus would get a hold of her, and I wouldn't do this. But she says, you know what would be the quickest way for you to get a divorce and the only way for you to get a divorce and for you to be 6 feet under? Till death do us part, baby. And I'm like, what? If you had an affair with me. It's like, geez. I'd lose my wife and my life, you know? Can I tell you something? God will reveal something to you that he wants you to become one with, that he wants you to partner with, to where you have an affair on the very thing that was actually causing you to have an affair on Jesus. That's a hard word, I know, but forgive me. I'm not sorry though, because I've lived there. And I'm not trying to be like Charlie tonight. It's just what God's given me right now. And I didn't write it down on paper. Even though Pastor Charlie's great, I look up to him. I don't want you to be like, man, a day and a half, and now he's trying to be like Charlie. No, it's just the atmosphere that's in the room. But watch this. Watch this. God exposes things that he wants to fix. He doesn't expose the mock. He exposes to say, listen. But watch this. He's okay with exposing it and embarrassing. Oh, yeah. Because if he embarrasses you, maybe you won't want to do it again. But watch this. In Genesis, right, when Adam and Eve fell, what did they do? They tried to hide. God told me tonight he's exposing some things that only he can fix. And part of you running away from him is you trying to fix it on your own. And you need to give it to God and let him touch you so he can alter your life forever. And you might have a limp, but you'll be grateful for it. And so, you guys still okay? You gonna come hang out and hear me Saturday maybe? Okay, so watch this. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. This thing's driving me nuts, man. I don't even know how to fix me, Papa. See, this was an altercation, but look at the alteration that's coming out of this. So watch this. God is okay with causing an altercation because he wants to bring an alteration. And watch this. Watch. I can't stand still. I can't. I'm not Bill Vanderbush. You want someone that's going to stand still for you, wait for Friday night. He moves too. I'm just messing. I tried one time. I walked the pulpit with me. You know what I mean? I took the pulpit with me. But he said, Ryan, during worship, he said this. He said, Ryan, he says, look at Adam and Eve. They hid themselves from me. And when they hid themselves from me, I'm like, man, Adam, Eve, where are you? I was pursuing them even in the midst of their rebellion. I love them, and because the Spirit yearns, pursues in love always. Because God is love. He's chasing after you. But I'm holding on to something really stinky and wretched and ugly, God's going to expose it. You can't hide it. But you know what? God's like Pastor Charlie, I'm so glad you did that, because here's a prophetic prop. I didn't try this, but I'm going to roll with it. You know what's crazy? God was like, Adam, Eve, you're driving me nuts. You're putting things on that are withering away quickly. Stop that. Hold on 1 second. Kills an animal, first sacrifice, right? Brings it. Lays it on Adam, lays it on Eve, and says, here's something eternal. Here's something that'll last you for a while. Do you see how he exposed it not to mock them? He exposed it because he loved them and wanted to fix it. God pursues things in love. If it's a moral corruption, if it's a snare that's just sent by the enemy and it's out of our control, God's after those things. And when you say, help me, Jesus, you're actually creating a space for just Holy Spirit to move, to make you look more like him, free of the things that aren't. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So like, if you're wrestling with God over something, you just need to surrender and give up, because he's going to eventually win. He is like, I say this respectfully, he's stubborn. He's God, man. He's got forever. So do you. But we live so temporal. We'll give up quicker. And I sensed in my spirit tonight, the Lord said, Ryan, I'm exposing some things in this season with the people that are here. It can't be hidden. If it's pain, if it's a moral corruption, if it's a lie that you've been holding on to, if it's been, I don't care, a secret, I don't care. God's going to expose it, and it's going to be embarrassing, and it's going to be hurtful, but he's doing it because he loves you. He says, I'm tired of you running from this, because watch this. This is what the Lord said to me. He says, Ryan, if you're running away from your past, you're not pursuing your future. Because you can't rightfully pursue your future until you confront the things that come with you that are not of me. And he wants to expose those things, not to you, because you know it. He might expose it to someone that you care about and they care about you. Or he might just make it so evident and push you into a corner to where it has to be exposed and dealt with. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Because he's so serious about you conforming to the image of Jesus, and he's so serious about you stepping into the plans that he has for you. And one of the things he said to me, he says, since you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares you. God says, I want to remove some snares that are just tripping you and just holding you, man. Sin, secret sins, thing, like, mark my words, Pastor, there is going to be in this church and in this region more exposure than some people are going to know what to do with, because God is moving, and what he's doing is he is bringing a refinement where there's been defilement. There is things that the enemy has put on you, even if it's guilt, condemnation, or shame. God's going to expose those things, light those things up, because he's after you in love. And he says, I'm tired of you walking in that guilt. I'm tired of you walking in that condemnation because of what you've done morally wrong. And I'm tired of this holding you back and this holding you back. And I feel like the wrath of God is going to be poured out like never before on the enemies of God that have been haunting you. Because it's God's desire, it's his wrath's focus to take out the snares that have been ensnaring you and holding you back from what God has for you. And that's why he exposes it, man. He's like, I'm tired of you giving temporary fixes. I'm tired of you covering this up. I'm tired of you running from this. I'm tired of you hiding, trying to hide from me because of this. Or I'm tired of you trying to hide from godly people because you're afraid they're going to reveal something. I believe the goodness of God is going to manifest itself so real and raw, so powerful and strong, and I don't even think we understand or grasp the definition of God's goodness yet. We may, but we may not fully grasp it. But it's going to manifest itself and expose things, and we're going to be like, it's like a black light from heaven. You know, like, oh my gosh, what the heck? I didn't know that was there. And the furnace of God's going to come, and he's going to burn out those things because he is so serious, Pastor. And you fulfilling your prophetic destiny and your identity. And your identity is conforming to the image of Jesus and becoming unique in the way God's created you. And whatever's holding you back from conforming to the nature of Christ, and whatever's holding you back and robbing you of being unique, God's going to expose those things. And maybe you're not even aware of it. And he's going to expose the snare, and you're going to be like, man, I didn't even know about that. And God's like, well, I wanted to take you there. And I want you to go there, and I'm revealing to you where I want to take you, but I'm exposing what's holding you back. Well, God, this is kind of hurtful. He says, Ryan, this is a season, and I'm ending with this. This is a season. He's separating the wheat from the chaff. This is a threshing floor hour, I believe. I don't think we ever get out of those things. We use seasons too much, but I think this is a time frame where it's going to be highlighted and amplified more than ever. Where God's like, I'm going to expose the chaff by purifying the wheat and removing what is holding the purity and the beauty of something. How many more prophetic words does this church need? How many prophetic words does you individuals need? Sometimes we run to another prophet to get another prophetic word, and a lot of times it's the same thing. Don't even know I'm going here. I believe it's God. It is. We run to another prophetic prophet to get another prophetic word in attempts to outrun the last one. Well, maybe I can forget the one that hasn't been fulfilled by getting a new word. When God says, you know what? A lot of times this new word is the same word because I want to break down what's trying to take you out. This is what he said to me. He said this during worship. When you see me pacing in worship and on my phone, I'm not texting and I'm not nervous and I'm not aggravated because I want to preach. I'm just in Jesus. That's why I went in the back. Or that. But watch this. He says, Ryan, he says the altercation that in that confrontation comes to alter you, to help you, and to take out what is trying. That exposure comes because he wants to take out what is trying to take you out and cause you to fall short of your destiny. Your destiny is conforming to the image of Jesus, and all the other parts of your destiny comes back to Jesus and his abundance that he has for you and what he wants to manifest in you and through you. But watch this. God spoke to me, and I'm finishing. I'm trying. I'm so sorry. But he says, Ryan, he says the exposure, the altercation. Because watch, when something's exposed, there's an altercation. When there's an altercation, God says this. He says, Ryan, that comes to alter you, to help you, to take out what is trying to take you out and cause you to fall short of your destiny. You just think he's being mean. But can I tell you something? This exposure is coming because he loves you. And he says, you know what? I'm not asking you to go and run and get another prophetic word. And if you get another prophetic word, it's going to be similar than with the prophetic words you already got, because I don't want you to run after this word in attempts to try to run away from that word. He says, Ryan, I want you to actually know that this was my heart. This prophetic word is a piece of my heart. And this is what I desire you to pursue in love. And I'm going to expose to you what's holding you back. I'm going to expose to you if it's demonic force, Jezebel spirit, you know what I mean? Jealousy, wrath, unforgiveness. He's going to expose that old ugly thing. To alter something in your life and to take out what's trying to take you out and cause you to fall short of your destiny. Even if it's just like, there's no way I can do this. That's just hard. That was Jesus, and I'm Ryan. The first among many brethren. Maybe I'm not a brother. Maybe I'm a cousin. It's for the brothers. What's that? Or the redheaded stepchild. That's Ron. But anyway. I'm just messing. But watch this, guys. Mark God's words. There's a season coming of great exposure. Because God says there's a season where I need to clean up things so that I can elevate my people. But I will only elevate the ones who are humble and will take care of it with me. He exalts those that are humble. He says, I can only elevate those that aren't just listening to be encouraged, but are listening with the intentions of responding and acting what I speak. With a yes in their heart like Isaiah. God doesn't speak to entertain you. He speaks as an invite on where he wants you to enter in. What he wants you to experience and take in and rest and have fun and woo, this is great. But it's something that completely alters your life forever. I want people to know I've been with Jesus. Not because of what I say, but because of how I live. And I want God to expose everything that's holding me back from that great reward. And I also want God to expose, and I want to deal with God, those things. And I want him to burn out like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They came out free, not smelling like smoke, not burned, not a hair on their head singed, but what was burned off of them is what they were bound with when they were thrown in the fire. And I feel like the fire of God, even tonight, just wants to breathe, like just like almost like I know he's not a dragon, so don't think this, but I just saw like this breath just blowing across the sanctuary, the fire of God just breathing upon this place. When fire touches things, it alters things, and I feel like God just wants to bring. Maybe there's something has been exposed. You're like, I don't know how to like shake this. God wants to now tell you he's dealing with those things that he can only deal with. And burn those things off so, and be a friend and take the grave clothes off like Lazarus and say, okay, walk free. Come sit and dine with me. Partake in the things that I've called you to. So everyone could, if you could stand, that would be great. Because the Lord spoke to me, this is convergence, of a convergence conference. He says, you can't have convergence without an altercation. An altercation comes when two people disagree on something, maybe more, but let's just say two. Do you know convergence is when two things get closer and closer to one another? Can I tell you something? I'm going to preach a message on Saturday night called Kingdom Collision, I think. Things are altered when there's a collision. So every head bowed and every eye closed. James chapter 4 says this in verse 8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Those phrases literally mean bring something specific to someone specific. Bring something specific to someone specific. So when it says draw near to God, bring something specific to God. And then it says draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That means he brings something specific to someone, you specifically. So Father, I just pray right now that you would just highlight something in someone's heart. Expose what needs to be exposed. But Father, I feel like there's some people in here that know what it is. Greed, jealousy, unforgiveness, worry, insecurity. That's holding them back from selfishness. I mean, it's just holding them back from the image, conforming to the image of Christ in a particular area. Or something holding them back, Father, and they know what it is, from them stepping into their destiny. Pray you refine what needs to be refined, alter what needs to be altered, and take out what needs to be taken out so that they aren't taken out short of their destiny. Father, I pray you bring a crazy exposure to maybe even things. Turn the searchlight on heaven, Lord, and expose some things in their life maybe that they don't even realize is there that's holding them back. Or, guys, I had an encounter with Jesus, a threshing floor experience a couple of weeks ago where I'm laying there and I'm like, God, I want to go where this person's going, and I want to see this in the angelic, and I want to see this in the supernatural, and I want to see this. And God says, I want you to see that too. And then he started to reveal to me what I didn't see. Uh-oh. He started to reveal to me what I didn't see. And he says, I want to take you there, but I need to first break, crush, burn off. And he started exposing the things he needed to break, alter, burn off of me if I was to ever step into those things. Holy Spirit was so there and I got so wrecked. And God's like, you have a fear of man and you'll never step into those things and open doors for other people if you're always afraid of people and what they're going to think. That was one of my little snares. Can I tell you something? The fire of God came. I had a holy collision. God brought alignment in my life and I've never been the same from that one encounter, which I've had many, 2 weeks ago. So Father, deal with the snares. Deal with it, God. Crush it right now, God. Expose, God, what needs to be exposed, if there's anything, God. But God, I pray that those who have something exposed right now, they're like, man, this is holding me back from being like this. This is holding me back from doing this. This is holding me back. Father, I pray right now that you stir their faith and let them know that you're here to take those things out, that your fire wants to burn those things off of them. Your passion wants to strip them of them. Your passion, Father, wants to see them step into those things. And Father, I pray that you would stir a passion in them to want to pursue the things that you have for them, but also deal with the things that are holding them back. Father, I just pray right now you burn what needs to be burned. Shake what needs to be shaken. Father, break what needs to be broken. If you're here tonight and this really resonated in your spirit and you're like, man, there is something that I need maybe exposed that I don't get what it is, but it's just something that's holding me back, or it's obvious what's holding your back and you're like, God, I want to meet with you tonight. Tonight is the night I want to deal with it. Tonight is the night I want to get over it. Tonight is the night I want to break up with it. Tonight is the night I want to make a decision not to continue these vicious cycles. Tonight is the night that I want to free myself of this and I want your fire to burn it. I want this, you see, this time right now, God, to be an act of surrender. I've been in an altercation with you. My flesh has been fighting against you, God. But tonight I want to come up here as an act of surrender so that you can move in my life and alter my life and change my life and break the snare, break off what's holding me back, Father. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now. If this message really resonated in your heart and you're saying, man, there is something that I know needs to shake. There's a snare. There's a breaking that needs to happen. And there's something that needs to break off. And tonight I want it to break off. And help me. Pray for me. I want you to raise your hand right now. Be honest with God. Be honest with God. Put your hands down. If you're here tonight, and you know God's desire, you know your calling, you know the invite of heaven is for you to be healed or restored. And the snare is actually sickness in your body. And that is the thing that has been altering you for the bad. That's been your altercation. And you want to overcome. And you want to God to come and alter your situation and alter the thing that you've been in an altercation with, where it's destroyed and you overcome it. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's, you know, poverty of some sort with your finances or poverty in life. And you're like, God, I need this fixed. Can you pray for me? Can you help me, God? But can you pray for me, Ryan? I want you to lift up your hands right now. If there's sickness in your body that's holding you back, if you know God wants you healed, but there's pain in your body and you're like, man, God, this is my altercation. this is altering me for the negative, and I want to overcome it, and I want you to move in my life, and I want your fire to refine me, and I want to have a collision with you, and I want you to alter my life in this area that's been ransacked by pain, this area that has been ransacked by poverty or pride or hurt or pain. I need to overcome this. Will you pray for me? I just want you to lift up your hand. If you raised your hand for any of that, I want you to come up front right now. I want you to come up front right now.